count your blessings. You can see our grateful theme, which is our theme for the year, right behind me. We're here in the building, so much to be grateful for. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Patterson preached on chapter 8 of Sister Ann's book, right? 1,000 Gifts. And he talked about trusting God. He talked about how Christ is God's gift to us. And, you know, as I read that chapter, there was a line that stood out to me that just stopped me right in my tracks. And it was inspiration for maybe a part two here on chapter 8. And that line was this: count your blessings and discover who can be counted on. Count your blessings and discover who can be counted on. What does that mean? I mean, that simply means that identifying and naming and counting all of God's gifts to us really helps build our trust in Him, which then what that does, it helps us trust in Him and act in faith the next time we are faced with challenges, challenges of uncertainty, challenges and trials that evoke fear, that evoke stress and anxiety, right? And so the title of my message, once again, is Count Your Blessings. Here's what I've learned about trusting God. Trust is built on the foundation of God's character and the bricks of His blessings. The foundation of His character and the bricks of His blessings. That's how trust is built. God's character is found in the Bible. He tells us who He is. And God's blessings are found each and every day. He shows us who He is. Being a thing to His Lordship. And that means that we trust in Him. But it's hard to trust in somebody if we don't know that person, if we don't know their characteristic, we don't know who they are. So that's important if we're going to have be in a right relationship with Jesus as His disciple. And when we decide to follow Him, that means we trust Him with everything. We trust His love, we trust His plan, we trust His provision. But when we don't trust His plan and His love and His provision, we settle for trusting ourselves. We doubt the truth and trust liars. We doubt love and we trust haters. We doubt the strong and we trust the weak. We doubt the perfect and we trust the broken. Liars, haters, the weak, the broken. That's us. That's me. That's you. And that's who we choose to trust until we get to know the character of God and experience His blessing. God's character is found in the Bible. He tells us who He is. Psalm 146 is a great example, starting in verse 6. He made heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighed down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and the widows, but He frustrates the plans of the wicked. Psalm 146, verse 6 through 9. That is our God. That describes the character of our God. His character is that He gives justice to the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He frees the prisoners. He opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are weighed down. He loves the godly. He protects the foreigner. He cares for orphans and widows. That is our God. That's His character. That's what I love about Him. He is for the least of us. So yes, God's character is found in the Bible. Just open it up. Read it. Open it up with the app. Read it. You will find out who He is. He tells us exactly who He is. And God's blessings, now they're found every day. He shows us who He is. He shows me who He is every single day. Here's an update on my gift list. Number 102. Peace that transcends all understanding. Number 138, pain that reminds me of my purpose. Number 147, experiencing God work even when I am not. Number 150, God's unrelenting faithfulness to me. Count your blessings and discover who can be counted on. Now, describing those blessings really help us to identify who God is and who God is to us. And just recently, I was hanging out with Aria in my office area, and she looked up at the wall and saw the plaques and the certificates and the awards, and she saw the bookcase, the trophies, and she was asking me about those. Daddy, what's this and what's that for? And there was one certificate that was Layla's certificate. It was the Character Award. And she said, Daddy, what is character? And I said, well, character is who you are. It's the decisions you make. It's what you believe in. It's how you respond to adversity. It's who you are when nobody's looking. It's who you are. And Layla won an award for her character at school. But you know, the interesting thing is that as Aria was looking at these trophies and these awards, and what she's doing is she's creating an image of who we are, because those things tell a story about us. And so that helped her. Now, in the same way, this list that we're doing serves as a trophy case of the heart, a trophy case in our heart that reminds us of God's heart. So you count your blessings and you discover who can be counted on. Now, Peter and the would-be disciples, they had a hard time trusting until they started counting. Now, they knew of Christ, but they had yet to experience Christ for themselves. See, John the Baptist, he had gone out and he started preaching, and he was sharing the prophecies about Jesus, and he was paving the way for Jesus. And so he had been sharing about Jesus. But Peter and the would-be disciples had yet to share in the blessings, much less start counting. Until one day, as the book of Luke tells us in chapter 5, one day Jesus was standing on the shore and he was preaching the word, and there's all these people are crowding around him and they want to hear the word of God. And see, so they're crowding around him. So he looks around and he sees a couple of boats on the shore. So he gets on the boat, and one of them is Simon Peter's boat. And he says, hey, can you go out a little bit so I can preach to the people? And he does that, and he's preaching. Once he gets done, he says, hey, go out a little deeper. Let's go catch some fish, right? So they go out a little deeper, and Jesus tells Peter, hey, go ahead and put the net on, you know, drop your nets. And Peter's like, listen, we've been working all night long. We haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I'll do it. And what happens? He drops the nets, and he, all these fish, right? All these fish. Fish are jumping into the boat. He calls his boys over and says, y'all come get some of this fish, because their boats were starting to sink. Their nets were starting to break. I mean, it was so many fish that he had in that moment. He didn't even know what to do. It was crazy. So many blessings. Their nets began to break. So many boats. I'm sorry, their boats began to sink. I mean, you can even imagine him trying to count those blessings, all of them fish. You can't even count the fish. The fish are jumping out, jumping in. I mean, they're all over the place. But Peter didn't care at that moment, because the gift giver suddenly proved to be trustworthy.
Amen.
And in verse 8, it says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats on the shore. They left everything and followed him. They left everything, including the gifts, and followed him, the gift giver, who had proven to be trustworthy. Now, in that moment, they made the decision to submit to Jesus and decided to follow him as his disciples. And they made the decision to trust him with their lives, to trust his love and his plan and his provision. Can you imagine if Peter started his list of gifts that day? What if he started counting them? Number one on Peter's list, the gift giver. Number two, second chances. Number three, a worthwhile mission. Number four, friends for a new adventure. Let me tell you, this group of friends, they did well for a while. They did good. They started trusting in Jesus, following Jesus. They did good. Until one day, as it says in the book of Mark, chapter 6, one day, once again, Jesus is surrounded by a large crowd. Lots of stories with Jesus and large crowds. And it says that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he started teaching them all these things. And by it started getting late. And the disciples said, hey, Jesus, we're out here in the middle of nowhere. These people are hungry. You got to send them back home so they can go home and get something to eat. And Jesus tells them, you give them something to eat. Woo-wee. They're like, Jesus, you want us to feed them? We don't got enough money to feed all these people. You see how many people? It would take more than half a year's wages. And I mean, it's not going to work. Well, Jesus says, well, how much do you have? I said, okay, well, we have 5 loaves of bread and we have 2 fish. And Jesus says, okay, go tell people to sit down. We're going to have to take care of this. And verse 41 says, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000, not to mention women and children. And let me tell you, 5,000 plus, I mean, that's a lot of people even when you got food. Like, that's a lot of people, right? Can you imagine when he's just creating it as he goes, right? That's crazy. The gift giver, he's back at it here, giving away fish. Breaking bread, breaking fish, and giving away bread. He's back at it. But first he looked to heaven and gave thanks. Because he understood he was only giving away gifts that were first given to him. Thanksgiving always precedes the miracle. And the miracle produced leftovers. 12 basketfuls to be exact. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 1 for each of the disciples. Peter, he adds to the list. Number 34, fish we left behind up here again. Number 35, some of that Savior seasoning. Number 36, the look on people's face when they experienced their first miracle. It was amazing. And let me tell you, these disciples, whew, they did well. They were doing good. They were on top of the world for a few more chapters. Until one day, as it says in the book of Mark in chapter 8, you can guess how this story starts. One day, there's a large group of people, and they are all looking at Jesus. And they gathered around, and what does Jesus do? He feeds them. I mean, he preaches to them. He feeds them spiritually. But once again, they're like, hey, they need to eat some physical food. And once again, the disciples are like, we don't got that. And Jesus is like, well, what do you have? And they're like, well, this time we have 7 loaves. And he's like, okay, we can work with that. Go ahead and tell the people to sit down. And in verse 6, when he had taken 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. And they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. And after he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. Once again, thanksgiving precedes the miracle. He says thank you. There's something about having a grateful heart that just opens the door for God to do the miraculous. And once again, the miracle produced leftovers. They counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 basketfuls to be exact. It's amazing to be rolling with Jesus, right? And then something else happens. The story doesn't end here. The Pharisees come over. They've seen all this, and they start to question Jesus, and they test him at this moment, asking for a sign from heaven. And Jesus, he sighs and deep sighs. It says he sighed deeply. You know that sigh when you done had it. It's over. You done had it. I can't. I can't deal with y'all. Why are y'all always asking for a sign? I know he was thinking, I just did a sign. 4,000 people just ate. You want another sign? Nothing was enough for the Pharisees. It was never going to be enough. And so he left them. He said, I'm not giving you no sign. Oh, that's it. I'm done. He leaves and he gets in the boat. He crosses over to the other side. And in verse 14, it says, the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Verse 15, be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? Don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? The answer was obviously no. They didn't understand. They didn't get it, even though Jesus had done two incredible miracles, miracles that produced leftovers, miracles that could be counted. 5,000 people fed, 12 basketfuls of abundance. 4,000 people fed, 7 basketfuls of abundance. And let me tell you, when the Jewish people, when his disciples, when they heard these numbers and they counted these gifts, they understood the significance of the number 12 and the number 7. These are numbers that symbolize perfection, wholeness, the completion of God's purpose. And so I believe Jesus was just trying to help them understand his character. I am Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. You can trust me.
Yes.
But I do find it interesting that they forgot the bread. They forgot the gifts. 7 basketfuls. This could have been dinner. Leftover. You know how we survive on leftovers, y'all. I mean, they just. I think at that point they may have taken it for granted. The second time around, and maybe it became a little bit more normal. These miracles just started losing the pizzazz, the magic. They started losing their gratitude, and it became almost like it's just expected to happen. Oh, we got those gifts. I don't even need them no more. You know how we do. We done got these Christmas gifts. A few weeks from now, you may not even be using them. Kids do that with toys all the time. Get all these gifts, they just sit there somewhere. That's how we are sometimes with God's gifts. We receive God's gifts, and then we just leave them behind. It's like, thank you, but what's next? And that's when the entitlement creeps in. You know, what's interesting is some scholars argue that this specific miracle didn't happen. They say this had to be a retelling of the feeding of 5,000. And their main argument is, how could the disciples forget what Jesus did that quickly? Now, obviously, these scholars, they don't understand human nature. They don't get the simple nature. Because I can't tell you how many times after experiencing God's power and God's provision that I act like that just did not happen. That's why I believe the next challenge is always the best test of our trust.
Yeah.
It's the next one. Yeah. Because that will test whether or not we've remembered what God has already done in our lives. That will test us whether or not what he has already done has built our trust so that we can deal with this next challenge the way he wants us to. Amen. And I believe that Jesus may be asking some of us the same question today. Don't you remember? Do you still not understand? Because when we fail to remember, we fail to understand, and that's why we count.
Yes.
That's why we count. That's why it was their tradition, the Jewish tradition. That's why they made monuments. Read through the Bible. Wherever they would go, if something amazing happened, they would pile some stones up and say, hey, we're going to call this. You know, just like Abraham when that's where Jehovah Jireh came from. When he was first called the God who provides. Abraham was going to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice, and God provided the ram in the thicket, and Abraham said, this is God who provides. And they made a memorial there, and they make those wise so they could remember. They make those monuments, and guess what they do? The Jewish people, they throw parties. They have all types of festivals. Why? To remember what God has already done. And they make sacrifices. They actually go and they give something to God to sacrifice at the altar. They do something. I can't believe as Americans we settle for this easy believism that it's just okay to like know that Jesus exists. No, yeah. That's not what faith and trust is about. They did things that helped them to remember, to understand, and ultimately to trust. Count your blessings and discover who can be counted on. The disciples now, after this, they did well for a while. They did good. They learned their lesson. Until one day, Jesus died. The ultimate test of their trust. As it says in the book of John in chapter 21, they went back to fishing, but they weren't no longer fishing for people. See, they settled to just fish for fish. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, they were feeling kind of how they felt that first time when they encountered Jesus on the boat. But once again that morning, Jesus stood on the shore. And he yelled at the disciples. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish? Have you caught anything?" "No," they answered. And he says to them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And at that moment, it clicked for Peter. He was reminded of that first encounter with Jesus. And he said, "It is the Lord." And so he puts his clothes on and he dives into the water and he swims 100 yards, the length of a football field. That's how pumped up he was to the shore to get to Jesus. And when they land, they get there, and the boys, they kept the fish this time. They brought it to the shore. And they get there, and they see a fire burning coals, and there it is. There's a little barbecue going on with fish on it and some bread. It's a common theme here. In verse 10, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. They learned their lesson this time. Count your blessings and discover who can be counted on. It says that they knew it was the Lord, and they knew he could be counted on. They got it. At this point, they finally got it, and Jesus desperately needed them to get it because he was about to send them all on a mission without him in person, just him in spirit, and they had to get this, that God could be trusted. Back to Peter's list, number 153 reasons to trust God. Number 154, breakfast with an old friend. Number 155, a warm fire and a warm smile. Count your blessings and discover who can be counted on. Are you counting yours? Have you started actually counting? I'm not just saying, "Oh, yeah, I'm grateful for this," or, "Oh, that was really good." Have you started writing it down? What number are you on? I challenge us as the Path Church. I challenge all of our friends and family of the Path. Go beyond 7 and 12 and even 153. I challenge you to count to 1,000 this year. Count 1,000 gifts and discover who can be counted on. God can be counted on. God can be trusted. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we're here. We got another pandemic, the pandemic of 2022 happening all over again. 2020, 2021, we're here in 2022, it's the same thing. We've been here before. This ain't new to us no more. By this time, our character should have been built. Our faith should have been built. Our trust should have been built. We should know how to deal with this by now. We've been in this thing for a couple years. And guess what? God is still the same. He's still working out everything according to his plan and for our good. He's still the same. All right, so at some point, we got to move forward with this, woe is me, I'm so tired. Hey, listen, that's life.
Yeah.
All right, at some point, we rise to the occasion. Our faith grows. We allow God to mold us. And we stop feeling sorry for ourselves. And we say, you know what, God? I'm going to take the good, the bad, the ugly, and I'm going to move forward. Because I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you and all the incredible blessings that I have, even in the midst of the challenges. We have the answer. And if we're not the ones to act different in these dark times, then who will? Who are we counting on to provide hope? Who are we counting on to give the people a vision of the attitude that we should have, of faith, of love, right? Who else are we waiting for? That's our job as disciples.
Yeah.
Are we being the light? Are we giving people the answer? We can do that by simply sharing with them what we're doing, counting our gifts. We can do that by simply sharing the journey that we're on. And let me tell you, it's not always easy. There's times that I don't write nothing on that gift list because I don't feel like being grateful. There's times when I sit down and I don't even know what to write because I've been so focused on what I don't have. But that discipline of sitting there until something comes to mind, then all of a sudden the floodgates are open and I can go write down 10 to 15 things in a row. I'm almost to 300 now. Take people on the journey with you. Challenge your friends and family to do the same. Because we can no longer let fear hold us back from trusting God. As I want to close out, I think that's the biggest challenge, one of the biggest challenges that we constantly have when it comes to trusting God. And I just want to finish with this piece in chapter 8 of 1,000 Gifts. Because Sister Anne, she realized something. She realized this, that all fear is but the notion that God's love ends.
Right.
That's what fear is, the notion that God's love ends. And then in that moment, as she was wrestling with that, she felt God impressing on her heart, saying to her, do you think I end? That I will not be enough? I am infinite, child. What can end in me? Can life end in me? Or happiness? Or peace? Or anything you need? Doesn't your Father always give you what you need? In me, blessings never end because my love for you never ends. Perfect love drives out all fear. When we count our blessings, we understand that God's blessings never end. They are ongoing. And what we're doing is we're telling the story of trust. We're telling it to ourselves and telling it to our hearers. We're reminding each other that God's love has not ended in our lives and it will not end. We're telling each other and telling ourselves that his character proves to be true over and over again. And he continues to show us his love as he showers us with blessings. Count your blessings and discover who can be counted. At this time, let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Father, we thank you so much for the infinite amount of blessings that you have poured out for us, God. And knowing that those blessings never end because the best is always yet to come for us and we get to live in an eternal state of blessings in heaven. That's amazing, God. Your love doesn't end. We could not count. Even if we try, we will be counting forever. But help us to get to 1,000. Help us to write those thousands, not that list of thousands, not just on a piece of paper, but in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, in our souls, God. And that list will help us to trust in you more and more so that we can obey you more and more. And that we can help others to do the same and understand what it's like to be in a loving relationship with you. Thank you that even while Jesus died, he also resurrected. We thank you for that. That should be on all of our gratitude lists, is the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that we also get to resurrect. So at this time, God, help us, God, to see your infinite amount of love and blessings through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. And in his name we pray, amen.